This is your announcer, Shannon St. Mainframe, welcoming you to RIP Livecast. Spring is in the air and a little bit of rain isn't going to stop me from enjoying this. Malfunction. Water damage. As I was saying, Robert Pozvani's social security number is 1-1.
Hold on. We got to reboot Shannon here. Yeah, I guess it is spring, but the weather, somehow there's some water that must have gotten into Shannon's mainframe. Welcome to RIP Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid in 3D.
They've already got two-ninths of it. Not that hard to guess now.
It sounds like you have one of the original social security numbers, Rob. It starts 1-1. That's old school.
Good job. Was all of it, by the way. He's just really old.
That's it. That's my social security number. My social security number is 11.
Welcome to the show.
No, go ahead. What did you used to be?
I didn't used to be anything. I've always been nothing. That used to be an ongoing like insult. Your mom is so old. Like her social security number has one digit or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your Rob is so old. His social security number is 11. There you go.
he's a little younger than your mama, but by 10.
I do feel like my social security number is 11 some days, you know? Really feeling it in my back and my knees.
Whoa, what's mine then?
My pussy and my crack. Yeah. But welcome to the show. It's March 23rd, and RIP Livecast is live on the air. We're live every Saturday morning around 11 a.m. Eastern Time and available for download immediately after wherever podcasts are available. And, of course, always streaming video on YouTube. You see our three pretty Jewish faces from three various corners of Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Every week. And of course, if you want to send us your feedback, if we said something that offended you so bad that you want to tell us, please reach out to us, RIPLivecast@gmail.com, or you can chat with us all week long, 24/7, in our Discord. The invite is at RIPLivecast.com.
You know, Rob, I never really thought about it till you just said it, but our residences do form a pretty nice, tight isosceles triangle on the map.
Yeah.
Tight. It's true. Yeah, I was thinking about that as well as I was saying it. It's interesting. It's interesting geography.
We're letting people pinpoint all our information, but just a few hints here. You got 22% of your social security number, and we've just triangulated our GPS position.
Well, I feel like we've all vaguely discussed what neighborhoods we live in, so I don't think it's giving any that much new information out. If someone was truly that intent on finding us, I feel like we've already given out plenty of hints. The thing is, they'd have to sort through 762 episodes to really pick up on all of them.
Yeah, your phone number's in there somewhere.
It's edited out of the archive.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Coward. Is that still your phone number? It is, right?
Yeah. So they'd have to track down someone who downloaded each episode on the fly.
Or DM either me or Darren, and we'll just tell you if you ask nicely. Yeah. We don't care. Sure.
Send us a Chicago pizza. That never comes.
Threaten to send me a Chicago pizza if I don't tell you Rob's number, and I will immediately tell you Rob's number.
God damn it. All right. It's 1-1-1.
Fuck.
Cut me off. Water damage.
Malfunction. But it's a new week. Yesterday, Sid and I celebrated Sid's wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. We went to an escape room.
How was that?
It was pretty fun. It was interesting because Sid was very hesitant to go, and dare I say, I think he had some fun being out and about and social.
Was it anything? Well, before you say anything, let me ask this. Was it anything along a theme that Sid might find interesting? The escape room, specifically.
There were some baseballs, okay. Some softballs.
I'm wondering why he would actually start to like this.
I was.
Well, it's because it required. Yeah, it required problem solving, and I think Sid enjoys that. Sid enjoys using his mind.
I went in vowing to not participate and to actively try to ruin the fun for everyone else. And then within 5 minutes, I had solved the first two fucking things. And I was like, "What? Come on, guys. I'm the one that doesn't want to do this. Slack.
Maybe they were throwing it just so you'd participate and bail them out.
I swear to God, Darren, I did have that thought. I was like, this is a setup, right? Just to trick me into wanting to do this. This doesn't feel right.
No, I feel like we all stumbled into clues eventually. So
we needed a lot of help from the person running the room.
Well, I think as we got, so it's a 1 hour time limit. So I think as we got closer to the time limit, they were guiding us oh, hey, you might want to reconsider this part. They didn't quite tell us exactly what to do, but just where to focus.
Even that sort of felt like part of the game, because the woman that was running the room had a very, very thick,
Is exactly why I'm bringing this up. When we started the game, the woman who's running it, who's this attractive, 20-something-year-old young lady, she starts telling us the story, the exposition that we need to know about this game that we're playing. And her accent was so thick, in a way, just like you said, I'm like, is this part of the game where we have to we have to power through this very, very thick accent to understand exactly what we have to do?
Tony and Tina's wedding version of Escape Room.
And again, I don't want to be rude, but at the same time, it's a very thick, I really had to strain to focus and understand what exactly we had to do. It was some sort of Italian or European accent of some sort.
So, okay, so Italian, not Brooklyn. Yeah, now you guys, you're not even getting no fucking clues right here. For fuck's sake, my wrong, hey.
No, table. Welcome to the escape room, and you are going to be looking. Right now, there is a toxic air, a toxic chemical in the air, and you only have one. This is even too German for she sounded. Or German. Yeah, it's not even.
You're in an airport.
Oh my God, I would have turned around and left.
You got to crawl through the vent over here.
Imagine the escape room is you've got to find the hostages. done that? Is there? That's got to exist.
The escape room is you cannot leave until you denounce Hamas.
Trick, we kill all the hostages ourselves. Accident. Sorry. So you can go. Hour is up. You can go.
Oh my God.
Make sure to pay in the front.
But it felt like, because she wasn't in the room with us the whole time, she was off in a separate control room, but clearly watching us and observing and judging the whole time, because we'd be stuck on something, all of a sudden you'd hear over the PA her voice guys, do you want a clue? It's just it made me so self-conscious, because obviously she's watching the whole time, so I felt weird not if I wasn't doing anything. I don't know. It's just, the whole thing is just.
I was aware that we were being watched, which makes sense because, they don't want you to break anything. There are certain things that's just, this is just a prop. You shouldn't be touching that.
Even if we're being watched, it's not like she's going to be able to get to us quick enough to stop us from breaking something if we want to.
Sure, but if I'm sure it's for when parents do with children and they might not be paying attention or something
Do you think people have ever, a couple has ever gone in and just started fucking?
There was a couch.
Yeah.
They have to know they're being watched, though.
Maybe they're into that.
What
Maybe
if that's part of the fun? Yeah, that's intentional. They're like, we want this person to see us fucking.
It's weird.
Let them stop us.
Yeah. Or join in.
The escape room thing is seems right up my alley, but I just never had an occasion to do it. So I'm kind of curious. But I don't know if I've ever.
I think you would enjoy it.
I've never told you this, I don't think, but there I discovered there's a Jewish escape room in Brooklyn.
Discussing it.
Yeah.
a real Jewish escape room, which probably does have someone with that
accent. Is it underneath Crown Heights Synagogue?
that what you're smelling? It's just whack-a-mole with all the guys popping their heads out of the fucking...
here's your mallet. Just to get started.
Okay, here's your... You have to pull this bed out. Pull the bed out. Pull the bed out with all the bed bugs.
You got them on the payas. You got to hit them.
Pull the mattresses. Those weird mattresses that they kept pulling out. Oh, my God. Oh,
40 disgusting. Points. 40 points. You knock a full knock off his keeper. 40 points.
It's like a carnival game more than an escape
room. No, so what is this Jewish escape room?
I don't know. It's all I know of it is that I walked past it, but it's near the site of the original J2, not too far.
Oh, wow.
And it just says Jewish escape room. That's the literal.
Are you seeing
on the storefront? On the storefront.
Jewish it's called escape room. Peddlers and Parchment?
I don't know. And it's got some kind of like jaunty design on there. But you'd think they'd have a clever name, but it just said, maybe they changed it. I don't know. It said Jewish
Escape Room. Yeah, this is it. Hold on. I'm loading the website.
I promise you, it said Jewish Escape Room on the storefront.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you Google, this is the first result. Jewish Escape Room.
Those people don't look very Jewish.
Please tell me there's an Anne Frank themed one. Please. Please.
You got to stop her from twerking.
Join Dr. Jeffrey Paul as he journeys through the past, through the family tree, straight to his famous ancestor, Spoller Zeid.
Oh, that guy. I know him. He's still totally famous.
Experience a heart-pounding legend.
Zeidy means grandpa.
There's two different rooms. See, there's two rooms. There's also the eternal glow room.
That sounds
a dying weird. Sage's last decision and your part in it. Powerful princes are...
Too high concept, you know? Was this what's how the, yours right. was? Like
there was a bit of a story, a concept where it's essentially there is some experiment and it's going wrong and there's a toxic chemical in the air and you have 1 hour until, you know, you could do it. But the only way to stop it is to find this ID card within this
home.
And
there's
like
three different rooms. One leads to the other to the other. You got to find keys and patterns and and throw plastic softballs through a roof, a hole in a roof for some random reason.
And well, there's all these little things and you have to put them in the context of the room. And when you do, it unlocks, you know, a puzzle piece that'll get you to the next room, essentially, like in a more, you know, grander way of how it's going, which honestly, like I don't want to say I was as cynical as Sid. Obviously Sid was far more cynical. I was game to do it, but I did come into it with some bit of skepticism. The moment I saw everyone when we met outside, I joke like, "Hey everyone, I feel trapped already. Am I right?"
And I agree.
Sid's wife did not appreciate the joke, but I will say though it definitely was engaging enough where my skepticism faded.
Right. See, well, for me, like I feel like the motivation is supposed to be that you're so interested in the different puzzles and figuring them out. But in my mind, the motivation is just the wanting to avoid the embarrassment of failing in front of this random Italian woman.
See, well, what I realized the motivation for me was like, oh, this is a fun, like a teamwork game. That's it. It was real. I didn't even think about the fact that the person was watching us. I was just like, oh, we're all contributing to this. So it's fun.
I felt judged the whole time.
That's how I got into it. Well, who cares? Who cares if this woman's, you're never going to see her again. What are you going to come back there?
Maybe my wife drags me to another one next year for her birthday. Who knows?
Well, like, how could you feel judged when you were the one that uncovered the two first clues? You did the best.
Even still. Because there was if we all fail, that reflects equally on all of us.
So you're saying the team might have let you down. That's what you're really worried about.
Yes.
Well, Sid's the champion of live cast game shows. So, you know, problem solving and trivia.
Did you feel anyone on our team wasn't carrying their weight?
No, I think everybody did a pretty decent job.
Okay.
So yeah, now when you told me the backstory of this thing, that seems like just the right amount. I mean, I wasn't there, but it seems like just the right amount of backstory. It's enough. It's not this thing you read off this fucking website. It's like reading an Dead Sea Scroll or something.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think that that's a big part of it is like you want to have some sort of lore, but you don't want to make it too overcomplicated.
Yes.
And what I have to say as well is I really appreciated the set design. I thought that was well done as well. It definitely became immersive.
That's good.
Because you forget that you're just really hanging out in a basement.
Did they put real toxic gas in there?
No. But the there were soundscapes to give you the aura that like, oh, you know, shit's going down.
By the time we were in the last room, I don't know why, but I was feeling a little bit lightheaded. I don't know if they like cut the oxygen just a smidge to make you feel like frantic or something, but I was feeling like, all right, let's get this over with quick because I might pass out.
That can't
I don't know
help
if
your,
I was hungry or what was going on, but it was weird.
It can't help your problem solving skills.
Yeah, no. But I was mostly checked out at that point. I was letting everybody else do the heavy lifting by then. I did my stuff up front. Like I showed up for roll call. I got marked present. I did a couple things in the beginning and then I sort of put it into mode.
Whenever I think of escape rooms, I always envision, maybe I should just open my own escape room, but I think there should be like skills that are like belong to different people. Like maybe you have to assemble a dirty dozen of friends, ooh, you know, that have different skills and like one person's strong and has to lift something. And then you got the person who can do math. And you got someone who's good at like verbal skill. You know what I mean? Like I feel that.
Well, I do feel like we all kind of fell into roles like that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, so there was one point where you had to throw the softballs into this hole in the roof. And me being the tallest one, yeah, I had to take control there and I had to make it happen. And then, you know, or like whoever would find the clue, they would just take the lead on it. And so it wasn't that bad. So I went to the Jewish escape room has an Instagram page.
Oh dear.
And it definitely tells us more about it. Like, for example, what a perfect place to propose to somebody.
No,
what?
No, the least perfect place to propose to somebody.
A room where they literally cannot escape.
And oh, what is that weird mannequin of like a rabbi or something next to him? What is
That's like the scenery.
Rose petals on its face. Oh, what is going on?
Rob, you made a great point. What if she says no? She can't get out.
He keeps asking for the hour. She's got to figure out how to get out of that room without.
Well, yeah, actually, the hint to get out of the room is saying yeah. So you're not playing the game right, honey. So you have to say yes.
I hear the voice on the last speaker, like, "You okay?" It's for 3 minutes left. You have to marry him now.
The loudspeaker is just a Jewish grandma saying, "If she doesn't like you, my daughter is single. She's in the next room.
She's a little plump, but
it's weird that they're showing kids on their Instagram. I don't know in this escape room, and I guess here we are showing them."
Are they part of the room or are they participants?
They're like participants. They're customers.
Why is there a picture of
what is this image? David Dinkins? This is oddly, this is uncomfortable. Like, what is this?
It's like a Jell-O Mashiach sculpture. Lime Jell-O.
It's like a space rabbi. I don't know.
Yeah. For those listening on audio, it's like a giant, like a painting of a green space. Space rabbi, basically.
But also he just has his tongue out in a very uncomfortable
This is the
way.
Cover of the next Modest Yahoo record.
He's about to perform a bris with his mouth. Like, just warming
that's,
up the pipes.
That's the trick. You've got to find the missing foreskin and it unlocks the door to get out of the room.
Can we see what that is about Mayor Dinkins up there? What was that?
Up a little bit more up.
Mayor Dinkins, the mayor of New York in the early 90s, if you're not.
Oh, here we go. Oh, he was with the Rabbi Lubavitch.
Oh, why is that related to this escape room?
We are walking towards the light in the end of the tunnel. Very soon we'll be. Oh, I guess this is during the pandemic. This was posted.
Oh.
I don't know. I still don't understand how the photo is related.
I think they just grabbed the first picture of the Menachem Schneerson that they found, and he was with Dinkins.
It's weird. Are we so livecast field trip?
Yeah, we should definitely. This is our next escape room.
Next time Noah visits Brooklyn, we'll take her.
Oh, she'd love that.
I love that their claim to fame is the first ever Jewish escape room in the USA.
I don't know about that. Maybe Jewish themed.
But yeah.
Probably lots of Jews own escape rooms. We own everything.
Yeah. Wubfrub says escape rooms remind him of prison or New Jersey. Have you been to either Wubfrub, or are you just guessing?
I mean, that's wrong.
New Jersey and prison.
Isn't Jersey just like a big escape room? Everyone like Sinatra and Bruce Springsteen, they just all go to Hollywood. And the four
you can make it out of here, you can make it out of anywhere.
Exactly. Big smelly escape room.
I love how they try to pitch like, oh, our escape rooms are great for corporate team building. Like, look at and this image that they use.
It's oh, like, imagine my God.
This corporate team coming to the Jewish escape room or parties. Like, definitely this crowd is going to have a party what? At the Jewish Black escape room.
At the center of each of these pictures.
Yeah. Weird. They're trying to broaden their base.
Hold on. Yeah. Schools and camps can come. Like, this all Korean girls school. Like, what is this?
Come on,
Getty images all the way down.
Oh, what's it says, what makes us unique? Is there anything besides we're all Jews? Like, what's the meaningful adventure?
It's just random copy.
Yeah.
This is lame. But how much does it cost? What does a session cost? Do we have a price guide anywhere on here?
Oh, wait. Hold on. There's a commercial. Oh.
Again with the stock music. Suddenly, it's not as diverse when they had to shoot their own. I couldn't find a Black person to be in that commercial, huh?
Okay.
Weird.
Also, peddlers just feels vaguely anti-Semitic to me. Why would they call lead with peddlers?
Yeah, I agree.
Like the street marketers in the 1910s fucking tenements in Lower East Side.
Why not then just call it Shylocks and Padlocks or something? Like, go all the way with it.
Episode title. Bring your corporate team, diverse corporate team, down to Shylocks and Padlocks to learn about the history of the Shloimi Pedalstein from ancient Israel, the Kohen.
So it looks like $35 a person is the price.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Not at all. I mean, the content is bad.
Yeah.
Maybe not the price.
Does it come with a slice of kosher pizza?
They kindly ask that you not bring any food or drink in.
Ah.
Thumbs down.
Can gnaw on some Humantashen while I'm solving these puzzles?
That's for winners only. At the end of the thing, they give you a little snack plate. I really think, though, not doing a Anne Frank attic escape room is a missed opportunity.
This is your business.
Yeah, imagine that's my next career. I start doing inappropriate escape rooms. The Harvey Weinstein themed escape room where it's just like a fat old guy in the corner trying to grope you.
Escape you your ass being touched.
Yeah.
I wanted to move on to Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
Sid found this recent quote, and I have to say, I feel like it was made exactly, specifically, in fact, for our show. So let me cue it up here. Sharon Osbourne on Ozzy. He's always been inappropriate with women. Okay, well, let's see what she's saying here. In a new interview with Mirror, Sharon Osbourne spoke about her 5-decade relationship with Ozzy Osbourne, saying, "No matter how much bad people
behavior or who's wrong or right in a certain situation. I love him. He's the only man other than my dad that I've ever loved.
Does she not love her son, Jack Osborne?
He's a baby. She can't view him.
He's
as
not a man.
That's
he's,
baby.
He's like 40.
40 years old, baby.
And I knew what he was before I married him. But in my youth, being naive, I thought, I can change Ozzy. He won't drink when he's with me. I'll make him a nice home and nest, and we'll be happy ever after.
I can't imagine Sharon in a nest. She's so unbird-like.
That's not real life! I knew who he was. I knew he had addictions, and I took it on. We can't go for a wee without each other. It's ridiculous.
They can't play Nintendo 2010 device.
Here's the part that's pretty crazy.
He's always been inappropriate with women. We have a nurse at home, quite a large Russian lady. And she bent over him and he goes, tell me, do you breastfeed your kids? And I'm like, you can't say those things now. The world today is different. You cannot talk to a woman like that. You can get in trouble. He goes, for what? There's no filter at all. He's got Tourette's with the truth. It just comes out.
He's got Tourette's with the truth about the woman has big knockers.
Yeah. And asking her about breastfeeding. That's the
also truth. Yeah, like also, can you imagine this large Russian lady? Ozzy bled. Leave my titties alone.
I mean, Sharon.
Eat your yogurt.
Oh, with that coming out of her titties, though. She's asking for it at that
point. If Sharon knows how Ozzy is, why are you hiring this big Cossack woman to be his nurse?
The other thing, if the whole thing is Ozzy, you can't say these kind of things anymore, you'll get in trouble. Why is she then going and fucking ratting him out to the press? If it's so bad, fucking don't share it with other people, Sharon. What are you doing?
Ozzy, get your hands out of my pantaloons.
Rob, I didn't know your mom was a nurse. Do you think she'd be into Ozzy?
I don't need to consider Ozzy considering my mom's big naturals, okay?
Robert, I can't believe what a bad day I had at work. Ozzy Osbourne was motorboating my titties.
Like, wow, did you at least get a tip?
I did not. Cheap bastard. Cheap padla.
Bled. Are those the only type of women available for nursing? Is just large Russian ladies?
I mean, she got him what he wanted. He was just not supposed to make those comments.
She's so thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. And then he lets her down by motorboating the nurse.
And if they get any other race of nurse, then Ozzy just says racist shit to them. So it's the no win. He's going to do something inappropriate.
He'll say the racist shit and still make the sexual comments.
Smack that ass.
That's why she only hires white people. Not because she's racist or anything.
She just, Piers Morgan refers the nurses to Sharon, and then she hires them from there.
Well, you know, it's a good point, because when they did hire a Chinese nurse that time, she called her a slanted-eyed person. Like, just remember, like, that she did to the TV executive?
Oh, yeah.
Well, so in this Blabbermouth article, there's a quote from Sharon in 2017. I'm not going to do the voice, Mike. Throat is already scratched, but...
What are we even here for, then?
Sharon told the British newspaper that the British newspaper The Telegraph, Ozzy wasn't cheating with just one woman.
There were six of them. Some fucking Russian teenager.
Again, Russian.
So there's two, right? Like, wait, why?
He went from your sister to your mom, Rob?
My sister is not a teenager. My sister
she was then. Woman.
Let's pause for
2017.
A second.
No, she wasn't.
Oh.
She's always going to be a teenager to me, Rob.
So, does she mean like
oh, the girl was 25 and she's mad, so she's calling her a teenager? Are we talking about a literal teenager?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Good question. Who knows? So it was a teenager, a masseuse in England, our masseuse in LA, and our cook. He had women in different countries. Basically, if you're a woman giving Ozzy either a back rub or a trolley of good food, God help you. this is like how do you not know?
Or he was just molesting these women because they were around and
yeah. It does sound like a pattern of sexual abuse, honestly. Like how consensual could it be if you know that you would lose your job if you don't do this? You know?
Yeah.
It sounds like working at WWE, honestly.
Oh, my God.
Did he ever shit on her head? Any of these women's heads?
Probably on the nurses, but not on purpose.
Right.
Just because he can't control his bowels.
You got to wait till I'm in the bedpan is in position, Blair.
Wait, was that Ozzy or the nurse?
Both. They're just merging into one.
I don't know if Ozzy's into shitting, but his next concept album is about coprophilia, so
really?
That might be unrelated.
What's it called? Shard at the Moon?
That's the episode title. Unless we've used it before, I admit that is possible. That seems like it should have already been an episode title at some point.
Mr. Bowley?
Oh, that's good.
There's so many good ones. Shard in the Dark.
Diarrhea of a Madman.
Ah, the Ozman crappeth. Quick man comment suggests. That's a
all right. We don't have to sit here and
think of more fecal Ozzy puns.
But yes.
I'm sure they'll come out when they're ready to come out.
Moving on to another healthy old man.
Oh, boy.
Former Motley Crue guitarist Mick Mars was interviewed recently, and I want to highlight this interview he had on the Mike Colta show.
Who's that?
Mike Colta is this guy right here.
Whoa, no.
No. Oh, I think I've seen this before, this guy.
Crowbar? And I want to... he might be a Crowbar, actually. He has Mick on the phone, as you can see indicated by this beautiful graphic.
This is the week after Super Mario got divorced.
He started a podcast.
Yes.
Got some tattoos.
So I want you to pay attention to the choice of words that Mike Colta uses when asking this next question of Mick Mars.
I'm scared.
A lot of Motley Crue questions, because I know you can't talk about a lot of stuff. But I do want to ask you, this is not litigation related at all, but as a member of the band for not just recent years, but for some time, how hard was it to be in a band watching Vince Neil decline as a front man and as a singer? And I've asked Tommy this before, and Tommy likes to stick up, well, you know, Vince is okay. But Vince was a goddamn mess. And at the end, he was a fat, out of shape, out of breath, can't sing the songs. That had to be killing you guys behind.
Did you hear what he just said?
What?
That had to be killing you. Mick Mars, that had to be killing you. That's what's killing him? I don't think that's what's killing him.
No. It's on the list. It's a long list.
let's keep it going.
Behind the scenes.
Well, you know, it is what it is. You know, and, you know, the road takes a toll on everybody, really. And, you know, it's like it's kind of like family, you know. People fall out and people come back and, you know.
What?
It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works, you know.
Well, I will tell you. So one time he came here on a solo
Mars's
thing.
Defibrillator I think it was, in.
You know, he was having problems. I don't know. And he came and he was so drunk he fell off the stage.
Whoa!
And I brought it up to him the next time we had him on the show. I said, you know, last time you were here, you were so drunk you fell off the stage. And he said the best goddamn answer I've ever heard in my life. He said, "Well, that's rock and roll." And I was, yeah, I guess it is, Vince. I guess it is.
Or alcoholism.
Yeah, I guess that's the way. I've seen lots of people falling down. Bruce Springsteen and God, some of those other guys like that too. And I'm going like, what the hell? I guess
they're all in their 70s. At that age, you just fall down sometimes. It's not rock and roll. It's just being elderly.
Yeah, they didn't do it when they were 35.
Yeah. No, then they just got their friends killed in car accidents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're some, that's rock and roll.
Yeah. The Razzle.
Are we sure that was Mick Mars? Is that what he sounds like? I guess I've never heard him speak.
Yeah. I was thinking that while listening too. I thought he sounded way too normal.
That could have been anyone.
Yeah. He just had his friend go in the other room and pick up a line like we used to do on the show.
Or it could have been like an intern at that radio station. They're like, Mick isn't picking up the phone. Hey, Steve, could you just get on this landline and pretend you're Mick Mars? Just give not answers. Nobody will know the difference. It worked. Here we are. That's rock and roll.
That could have been Mick's nurse. Male nurse taking questions.
Just catfishing people as Mick Mars.
Right. Or maybe he's just answering, like relaying the Morse code that Mick Mars is tapping, like in the video one.
Oh, my God. They should redo that video with Mick. Just cut his head off, put it on a bed.
I just don't know. I got a metal pole in my back, and I can't.
Nikki Six walks in, asks him to sign a contract, picks up his limp hand, and just X on the paper.
SOS. Help me. Oh, that's terrible.
I guess there hasn't been any new Vince Neil footage yet. Is he still on the road or has he paused?
Well, I'm not sure they're touring at this moment.
Okay.
Let's see. Vince Neil live. Let's see something. Sort of
is latest. Vince Neil alive?
Okay, there's footage from 3 weeks ago.
Ooh.
It's a full concert. Someone solo reported or 1 hour. Solo.
Where is this? Oh, Detroit. Hasn't that city been filling up?
No, it's side stage.
You can really get a nice profile of Vince Neil's belly.
I feel like you can get that from any seat, really. Oh, gravity. Speaking of Super Mario, he looks like he just dyed his hair blonde. Super Mario, pretty much.
I can't even
do it. That's how, like, shrieky he is.
Immediate gold, first second.
He stepped on a cat that roamed on stage.
In his benefit, the vocals are low in the mix, so
yeah.
Can't really tell.
And also, let's skip ahead a little bit to when he's like winded. Mid-set.
You're right.
This is also the easiest song. I want to see Shadow the Devil. That was Evo. Then it winds up being.
Oh my God! They do Stairway to Heaven at some point, according to the playlist.
What? I gotta hear that. How they put to that time. Oh, the whole lot of love too. There's a whole Led Zeppelin.
Oh, here it is. I see. It's not him doing it.
That's not how it's going. I mean, I guess it's good in a way for us.
Wow, how long of a break does he take?
Rob, someone put in the comments the time check sometimes, the time stamp.
No, I checked. There wasn't. It wasn't in there.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, brutal.
Yeah, Kickstart My Heart. I take it back. Kickstart My Heart is probably the hardest.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
He didn't fall down, I guess. It's something.
In the footage we saw, at least.
Yeah. I feel like if he fell down, we would have heard about it before now.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have let that footage sit there for 3 weeks before getting to it.
No, one of our loyal fans would have sent it to us.
Yeah. We would have had to do like a special midweek episode just to talk about him falling down.
An emergency pod.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Someone else might fall down by Saturday, so...
He might be dead by Saturday from the injuries.
Yeah, then we can't make fun of it, so we gotta get it in
quick. We'd still make fun of it.
Yeah, you think?
Yes.
We'd feel more bad about it a little bit.
But we'd still do it, because we're professionals.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Rob, did any of your relatives get killed in this Moscow attack?
No. First of all, I don't have any relatives that live in Moscow. Yeah, he's Ukrainian. Mom is from Kiev. Yes.
Maybe they're on vacation, on holiday.
No, but it's horrible. You know, I feel like there's this weird expectation you have when going to a concert that you're not going to get killed.
Unless it's a hardcore show.
Sure. Okay. Let me stop playing. That you're not going to get shot in the head. Okay.
Do we know who was performing? It wasn't Alla Pugachova.
It wasn't. It was some sort of prog rock band.
What? They allow that Soviet Moscow?
Well, we're not in Soviet Moscow.
I didn't think they allowed anything progressive, let alone progressive rock.
But who knows? Apparently ISIS is taking credit. Putin this morning is blaming Ukraine.
What?
It's a mess.
Right. Props to ISIS for branching out. Who knew they were even in Russia? I'm impressed.
Dusty Rose Muffler asks, ISIS the band? No, ISIS the terror group. ISIS the band is not involved. I was actually just listening recently to the band currently known as Celestial. That's one of the one of their releases. So they just renamed themselves that. But I feel so bad for them because they're such a great band. And just can't.
Should have had a little more forethought.
Yeah.
No, I feel like ISIS is always, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but they're always kind of like attacking like places that align with U.S. interests, seems like. Like Libya.
Like a prog rock show?
Yeah. Well, no, like, you know, in Russia and stuff. But yeah, maybe the U.S. doesn't want prog rock shows to proliferate either. It's possible.
Oh, so you're saying they're doing our dirty work?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. I can't substantiate that, but it just seems weird.
I mean, didn't Rambo thank them?
Yes.
What?
It was more American than that. Yeah, the end of Rambo, the second, First Blood Part 2, there's a title card that says, for all the brave Mujahideen fighting in Afghanistan. Not ISIS, but yeah, similar.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically thanking Osama bin Laden.
Oh, this is Rambo 3.
And is it 3? Okay. Oh, yeah, 3 is the one about Afghanistan, of course.
Yes.
The worst naming conventions of any trilogy or franchise ever. First Blood. The second one's Rambo, First Blood Part 2. Third one's Rambo 3. And then the fourth one's just Rambo. What are you doing?
They just progressively cared less and less about what the name was going to be until they're just like, ah, fuck it. You know what this is.
Like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. We can't have more syllables in the title than Sylvester Stallone is capable of saying.
Rambo, First Blood, Part 3, yeah. F5. Yeah, fuck it. Rambo. Call it Rambo. Yeah.
That's really it.
Here's some fan art. Rambo 6, Return of the Talibans.
Oh,
boy. Oh, boy.
That's a good drawing.
That is. Did you like Rambo? I don't think I've ever seen Rambo or First Blood.
Oh, the originals? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
think actually, I've seen it. Well, Rambo 3 is a little... It's a little...
Yeah, the first two, though.
The first two are... First one, they're very different movies. First one's like an introspective movie about the Vietnam War and PTSD and all that stuff. The second one's just blowing everything. It's like the difference between Rocky 1 and Rocky 4, you know.
Mm.
But they're both great in their different ways. But Rambo 3 is just...
I remember the Nintendo game was really difficult.
I don't think I ever played that.
Throwing daggers at Asian people for most of the game. It's,
no reason.
It probably does not hold up well.
Yeah, I thought we were in Vietnam. I thought we were in Afghanistan. Where are we? Why am I throwing daggers at Asian people? With my Sharon Osbourne.
Excellent. I wonder Sharon's thoughts on Rambo.
What do you tell me? You could channel her.
Yeah.
Ozzy! Why did you watch a little Rambo instead of flirting with the Russian teenagers?
More Rambos, less bimbos, am I right?
Yeah.
More Rambos, less bimbos!
Yeah, it's another show title option. I got four already. One may have a racial slur in it. So. May or may not.
Wait, which one?
The first one. I don't want to repeat it because Rob got mad.
Shylock. Yeah.
Well, since you said it, I'll say it. Shylocks and padlocks. I think we should save that and use that as an escape room title.
Yeah.
Open next door to the other one to really
stick it to them. It's just do an anti-Semitic escape room.
It's a spite escape room, like a Skype coffee shop.
For the self-loathing Jews.
I think now I'm thinking we should name this episode that, and then ISIS will change our name to that. The show title will be that later on. When there becomes a terrorist group called Livecast.
My goodness. Well, let's see what else we have on the agenda. We didn't talk. This is a few weeks old now. Almost a month old. Over a month old. But apparently, I guess Machine Gun Kelly got a new cover up tattoo. Friend of the show, Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh.
He got a new what? Tattoo.
Yeah, he got a tattoo.
I didn't realize from how you said it.
So here's what his chest originally looked like.
Okay.
Just typical generic.
Yeah.
Tattoos.
Anarchy logo on his belly.
Terrible.
Yeah. This zip code, an area code, his year of birth.
The interstate exit where he was born.
Well, it's a highway. Yeah, it's a highway.
Whatever.
I think it's the exit where that Buffalo toll crossing is that we used to check in on. He's a big Livecast fan back then.
And here's what it looks like now. So he just got...
Oh,
just a huge cover up.
Yeah, I remember
that being in the and news. I guess this is a big controversy because he looks like it looks like robot cover up. You know what it actually looks like? It looks like Tim Comerford from Rage Against the Machine's tattoos.
I think it looks like blackface.
Yeah,
on his face,
black chest.
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
How long did this take? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you got to hit every part of his skin.
Yeah. And imagine how much it cost, because this took a long time.
Well, I'm sure he can afford it.
Sure. And so there's somebody who's actually a big fan of this, which is Joe Exotic, who we haven't heard from in a while.
Oh, God.
Darren, you found this. He's been tweeting about MGK. He writes, a tiger and a little bit of meth, and I can make MGK gay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Why not? Is that possible, Rob, to make straight men gay?
With a little bit of meth? Probably.
Yes. I feel like that'd be the worst, like the worst drug to use to get a straight guy to climb in bed with you. Wouldn't it? I feel like that would.
No, well, I guess the thought process is it's a highly addictive drug, mm-hmm. and this person would have no other place to get it, so they'd have to come to you to get it, and then you'd have to tell them the only way I'm giving you meth is if you suck my dick.
So it's not like, yeah, it's not like I'm going to get you so high that you'll fuck anything. It's that I'm going to string you out.
I bet it's that as well, I'm sure. I would. But also, it could be both ways.
How do
but
you?
There were because there was. I don't do. I draw the line at meth. I don't do meth.
No, I'm saying, how do you trick straight guys into letting you fuck them?
I see. Honey, there's no tricking necessary. They just take one look, and they're like, "I'm yours, baby." But no, there was this weird L.A. old. Creep guy who
LA old was, creep guy. You talking about Vince Neil again?
Lemmy.
He was picking up escorts and doing meth with them and shooting them up with meth and then getting them hooked and eventually giving them so much they overdose. So it was like a weird kink as well. It was very disturbing. No, he was this. He was just in the news. He got arrested. I think because one of the victim's mothers went public with it. It was like an interstate thing, and he was like some Democratic donor. Hold on, let me look it up. This was a few years ago.
While you're doing that, though, I just question this scheme of Joe Exotic to like give MGK meth and then like. He's not going to be dependent on your meth to get
high. Yeah, he's richer than you are, Joe Exotic. He doesn't need your help.
He doesn't need to suck your cock. Like, he can go get meth anywhere, even if you get him addicted to it, which I don't know how you'd even do that in the first place.
I mean, he already might be.
Right. He looks like a meth head.
He makes enough money that he can sustain a meth addiction.
I mean, who gets their whole top of their body tattooed black, you know? It's like not just clear thinking.
So... Ed Buck is the guy.
That's not a real name.
And look at what he looks like. Like, one look at
the guy. Oh, boy.
I remember the story, yeah.
Looks like Gentile Woody Allen. Ed Buck, wow.
Oh. Buck paid men and provided drugs in return for sex acts. And then eventually there'd be fatal overdose.
He injected the men. Did they agree to be injected, or did he just do it?
Well, that is a point of contention, I'm sure, between the prosecutors and the defense. Back in 2019, arrest marked a turning point for activists who protested outside his apartment and pressured law enforcement to act after one of the victims died on Buck's floor in 2017. Even after Timothy Dean, 55, died 18 months later, it took another 9 months and the near death of another overdose victim before Buck was arrested in September 2019.
You skipped over an important part. One of his defense attorneys was a prosecutor in the O.J. Simpson case. Was it Marsha Clark? Is she defending him now?
Does not mention any name.
I feel like they would have called her out by name if it was one of it was her or what's his name? Durden?
Yeah. Imagine they both like they're so fed up by the OJ verdict that they became defense attorneys instead. Like, this isn't working. Fuck this.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
Prosecutors say he exploited vulnerable men, most of them black, by paying them to come to his home to use drugs and engage in sex play to satisfy a fetish. Many were destitute drug users who often worked as prostitutes to support their habit. The defense contends all the men were Buck's apartment under their own will and that Moore and Dean did not die from methamphetamine. Mm.
Listen, if you're going to inject men against their will with methamphetamine, don't pick on the black community. That's fucked up. Spread it out.
Yeah, don't be racist about it.
Yeah, exactly. Diversify.
Well, some of these people were already hooked on meth, so he was preying on their, vulnerabilities here.
Now, this is all they always say, that's a white drug, you know, like the poor whites use meth more than any other race. So maybe this is dispelling a myth.
So in that way, he's very progressive.
That's,
it makes sense that he was a Democrat.
Here's the thing. Drugs aren't racist. They are equal opportunity. Right. They will affect anybody.
But in a social sense, you know.
Yes, yes.
Reach different communities.
Mm-hmm. So you heard about this story because you used to party with this guy.
No, I didn't. Stop it.
Out to L.A. for indie wrestling shows, you'd hang out with this guy.
No.
You dudes on the street.
No, Sid. Don't even joke.
That's how you met Virgil that one time at this guy's house.
Virgil had his table set up in front of the guy.
I am not at all involved in this scene.
I'm picturing this guy like sitting at the Rainbow Room with Lemmy coffee clutching about all the gay men they gave meth to. Like, how do the best strategies to give meth to people?
Lemmy did it too.
Lemmy was a speed freak, but I don't think he was into meth.
He got it just to give it to the prostitutes.
Yeah,
right. They kind of look alike. Yeah. You gotta watch what you're snorting.
It's one corner of the gay culture that I avoid. The party and play scene. That's what it's called. Party and play.
P&P.
Typically. PNP, that's right. Also typically indicated if the person's username on Grindr has like a capital T in a place where, you know, in the middle of the word, you know.
It's party and play. Why would the T, why would it be a T?
T for Tino, which is the shorthand for meth.
You say like I'm supposed to fucking know that.
I'm telling you. And I mentioned it on the show before.
Okay, fair enough. I should have remembered that. But so you're more, I would say, in the not party and play, but play and kick the guy out and go to bed at 9:30 p.m.
Yes. Play without party. Play but no party. Play but no party scene. P no P.
You at least
play, play no party.
Do you give the guy a cum rag to wipe his face before he kicks?
Oh, of course. Oh, please. I'll let them rinse off if they need to. I'm not rude.
You're a gentleman.
Yeah, I'm a gentleman for sure. But then get the fuck out. Don't talk to me. Don't make small talk. Leave. Bye. We did the thing that needed to be done.
Oh.
We're saying what needed to be said.
Would you hook up with that guy?
He's probably 60 by now, anyway. It's an old video. We're talking about this. Still real to me, damn it.
So I'm reading more about this Buckeye. Sometimes he injected victims without their consent, even. They didn't even want to do meth. He would inject them like when they were sleeping or whatever.
Oh, Jesus. So fucked up.
Brutal.
I can't even joke about that. That's terrible. Imagine you become a meth head just because like some guy has turned you into one, like Frankenstein or something.
If a victim was not interested in using drugs or used less than Buck wanted him to use, Buck refused to pay the person or reduce the person's pay. Ultimately, if a victim refused to use methamphetamine too many times, Buck would lose interest and would no longer hire the person to party and play.
Where did this guy make his fortune?
Let's see.
Was he like an executive producer on Family Ties or something? Kate and Allie?
Hey guys, I like drugs.
Oh no! Don't let that guy see you say that, Rob.
Ed Buck began his career as a fashion model in Europe, where he also acted in television commercials and two movies.
Wow.
He worked for a friend's company, Rapid Information Services, before buying it out of bankruptcy and renaming it Gopher Courier. Buck became a millionaire upon selling it after 5 years. So he was just a general businessman.
Mm.
And then he started donating to pro-gay politicians.
Check his IMDb. What's he in?
don't think.
He's in the really explicit remake of Uncle Buck.
He was the Grand Marshal of the 1989 International Gay Rodeo.
Wow.
His original last name, his surname was Buck Melter.
Not Meltzer, was he wrong?
Not
like giving reviews to gay wrestling matches.
Adrian Adonis matches. That's it.
I got to ask you now, and it may be something simple, but I'm just curious, what constitutes a gay rodeo? Maybe it's just gay men participating in a rodeo.
Assless chaps.
Yeah.
International Gay Rodeo Association, founded in 1985, is the sanctioning body for gay rodeos held throughout the United States. They are the largest group coordinating rodeo events specifically welcoming lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, as well as heterosexual participants and spectators. Okay, so it's just an inclusive rodeo, essentially.
Don't let the straights in. That's not. Well, come on, they have their own rodeos. Oh, that's just by definition what a rodeo is.
Yeah.
Well, I do believe that if you're trying to market an inclusive rodeo, you have to truly include all people.
Now, who says it has to be an inclusive rodeo? You're adding that. Let it just be. It says gay rodeo.
I would think a gay rodeo would do much better.
Say that again, Sid.
Rodeo. That's what makes it gay. Would do much better among straight rodeo fans, because you're telling me I could show up and possibly see like a trans person get run over by a bull? That's a good point. Isn't that great marketing for straight like rodeo fans who probably are all
for haters? You think you'd invite more haters?
Yeah, just come and see people you're scared of or don't think should have human rights get run over by animals.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. When I saw a rodeo, I feel like they kind of were playing to that in a way. There was a thing at the end of the show.
To homophobia?
Yes. Well, not overtly, but there was like they did all the calf roping and all the things you expect in a rodeo. And then at the end, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. This is in Montana. When I went to Montana on vacation, they took like two random people out of the audience. And they said, if you stay, the one of you two who stays with the bull the longest, it was like 10 people in the audience, and they would have the bull go around for 10 seconds, and anyone who got pushed out of this little ring would be out, and then they put the bull back in, and then they say ready, and then they let the bull back out, and it kept whittling down until they were down
to musical chairs, but with an angry bull.
Exactly right. But it seemed like I may be imagining things. It seemed like they picked like effeminate people to do this.
And but don't the people have to be like volunteers?
Yes.
Like you can.
So maybe they had lots of volunteers.
Yeah.
Lots of volunteers, and they just. But they I remember they. It was some of these people look like they got really fucking hurt, man. I don't know how you can do this.
That's fucking.
I still don't really understand it, but I kind of understand it when they're trained rodeo people.
Yeah.
But how is it legal to just take people out of the audience and subject them to a bull?
Do they have to sign a waiver first? Like, you can't just take somebody
I'm sure
up off the street and be like, here you go, get fucking gored.
It's amazing. And they were all happy to do it. They wasn't like, you know, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? They were like, give me this bull. You know, they had some guy being like a huckster on the microphone, like, what do you think? Are you going to survive this round? And the guy's like, yeah, give me this bull. You know, it's like, okay.
Now, Rob, let me ask you this. In a gay rodeo, is it a bull or is it just like a shaved dude in like leather that they have to like ride and chase around and tie up?
Right. Yeah. It's a man who's a bull, like a big bear. You're right. Yeah. No, for sure.
Any comment on the cock roping competition?
Oh, no. Don't tie it too tight.
Oh, boy. That just reminds me of a story that – so in my – in my jiu-jitsu gym, there's somebody who works at the hospital, and he has tons of great stories about surgeries that he likes to share. Oh, no. Like this one person, 19-year-old man, fell asleep with a cock ring on.
Oh, you got a boner.
And when he woke up, his penis was all blue. And when they got to when he got to the hospital, they realized that oh, he cut off all circulation to his dick by falling asleep with the cock ring on. And so the only thing that they could do was chop off his dick at 19 years old.
So he had
he's like completely flush. He had to cut it off. And the thing is, he still has his testicles. So he has all the desires and the sensation.
Like, why? At that point, just take it all while you're down there. Like, what do I need them for?
Yeah. So he had cock necrosis, is what you're saying?
Cockrosis, indeed.
Oh, my God.
Necroxis.
That makes me so
necroxis.
Sick. Necroxis. What do you do with your life after that?
What? Become at Nullo. That point, like, just be trans.
Well, like, just
fully lean in the other way, because what else is going on?
But, you know, his man.
Just be gender non-binary. You don't have to.
I think the more important thing is you lost the fucking important limb of your body, like, rather than.
Some might argue the most important.
What was he doing wearing a cock ring that was so boring that he fell asleep while wearing
drugs? Drugs.
Fucking opioid epidemic, man. Claiming good American cocks left and right. It's fucking tragedy.
Oh.
You're not wrong.
Now, is this a real thing that happened, or is this something your sparring partner tells you to, like, psych you out before a match? So, like, this is in
your head, because this was at the end. This was the locker room talk, literal locker room talk. at the end of the class. So there was no psychological advantage gained by telling me this.
Wow.
Other than, I guess, maybe 2 days later when I was still thinking about it.
Yeah.
But no, he shows us wacky stuff all the time.
What else?
Well, he showed us this heart that was being transported.
He showed you a heart?
Well, like a video of a heart, like, being pumped.
Like,
so
bring it,
like,
to the gym in a cooler.
He didn't bring it to the gym. No, he didn't. Sometimes in the middle of a class, he'll have to stop. He'll have to excuse himself because he gets a call and it's like, oh, got to run. One time he had to bail.
God,
it's
damn.
It's a tough world. But yeah, fun stuff.
Does the kid sue the cock ring maker for, like, having too effective a cock ring?
I guess that's definitely a possibility.
Like, what do you do? Like, he's got to have a lot of anger. Well, he's got to have a lot of
quite
anger.
Quite a few regrets.
Like, you can't tell anyone. Like, you can't, like, who can you even trust to tell that story to? Like, mom, dad, I'm in the hospital. Oh, why? Don't worry about it. Just pick me up in a couple of days and have, like, a soft seat in the car. Like,
it's a lot of explaining you got to do. I agree.
Jesus. Can he get, like, a prosthetic?
I mean, you can. They exist, obviously. Start pegging people.
Yeah.
Anyway. Moving on. Last week, we discovered our favorite new Livecast character, Cosmo Queen of Melrose. And we were wondering what their pronouns were. We couldn't quite figure it out. But Cosmo goes mostly by he. I've consumed a lot of content from him, and he does identify, I guess, as a man. But he did create this very handy video to explain himself. So let's.
Morning, Queen of Melrose. How are you?
Good morning. Hi.
But I have a question for you.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying online they're calling you he, they're calling you her, they're calling you they. There's a lot of pronouns coming at you in every direction, but I don't think people have really heard what you have to say about it. How do you feel, and how do you want people to address you?
Well, just don't call me late for dinner.
Woo!
You know what? I grew up in a whole different era, so basically I'm fine with she. I love she. You know, every queen wants to be called she, especially when she hasn't shaved the next day. But it's okay now that all this... these other words, labels, you know, and I'm okay with all of them. I've been seeing online they, and that's fine too, because they don't know if I'm, you know, girl, boy, or other, and that's fine. I'm basically a chameleon. So this one day I'm very New York, And the next day, I'm feeling very flamboyant. So I have a lot of alters. You know,
the two genders, New York and flamboyance. You know?
I'm sorry, but you're very New York, no matter what you do.
Yeah. You know?
Still love it.
Just embrace them all. Just embrace them all.
He embraces them all. What a great answer, I think. What a lovely answer. Cosmo, Queen of Melrose, you are on track to be one of the earliest inductees into the Livecast Hall of Fame. Like, this is just, I'm in love.
Now, I don't want to bring the mood down, but
I
have a link to share with you from one gay to another gay who's much more objectionable. When you were talking about the cock and the rodeo, I started thinking of this video that I saw, which, Rob, I think we've talked about this guy privately. It's the guy that goes, I'm a power gay, and that's therefore Daniel Ryan Spaulding is his name. Do you know this guy? He's like he makes these Zionist TikToks, like. I got a specific one that I wanted to share.
Oh, I really hate this guy.
Yeah. But this
really triggers me.
Where did this, I think, is his masterwork and his oeuvre.
When you're a power gay at the United Nations,
get it on the
you dress conservatively in a turtleneck.
No, it goes downhill from there. So just to give you a little background, he does like a wide variety of topics, but right now he's, because of Gaza, like he's doing all this like pro-Israel stuff, like interpreting it through like this gay.
But using like Gen Z
is he a real queer language? Is this like a character?
I think he's really
this is real. He's very real.
Is he himself Jewish?
No, he's not Jewish.
He's not?
Yeah, I watched somebody like dissecting these and making fun of them, and they somehow looked them up, and he's not. They found a video.
When you're a power gay at the United Nations, you dress conservatively in a turtleneck and tweed because you have to be taken seriously. It's up to you to save the Jews. But apparently, I'm not an advocate against anti-Semitism because I'm a good person and care about my Jewish friends. No, no, no. According to the purple-haired girls, I'm just pinkwashing. Pinkwashing. Another way to say your gay opinion doesn't matter. Listen up, hot gay guys. It's up to...
Like, his cadence is just, I don't know.
It's Randy Rainbow.
It's a slur.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
Us to stand up to these purple-haired girls, or else next year, you're not going to Tel Aviv Pride. And that's fine by me. I'll enjoy all that Israeli cock by myself. Hardcore Jewish dick. IDF dick. I'm going to get so much Jewish jizz, it'll be like I'm floating in the Dead Sea. I'm going to spend my the hottest gay guys in the world sucking dick and eating hummus, and you're going to be stuck with a bunch of 20-year-olds in slumpy sweaters doing spoken word poetry about colonialism. Enjoy. Hashtag pinkwashing.
Look at that. So wow, he's like the move over Rebecca Moore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, oh, you know, so much jizz, we're gonna be in the Dead Sea.
IDF cocks.
Destroy your IDF cocks.
Is Rebecca Moore still on Cameo? And if so, can you have her recite this monologue?
What if she's pro Palestine though? Doubt it.
Oh my God!
This was the first time that he genuinely made me laugh, though. So I do.
Dusty Rose Muffler wants to know if Rob has ever had IDF cock.
I've not knowingly. No.
Would you? Would you reject them based on their murderous, genocidal behavior?
I'd rather they just keep it to themselves, I would say.
All right, but he mentions it on the date, though.
Depends how horny I am. Well, on a date, there's no date. I'm not dating.
Well, you know, your time's been together. That was a broad term. You know, he's in the doorway. You haven't had a chance to get your pants off yet. And he says, oh, by the way, I was in the IDF. I wouldn't judge you, Rob, if you just want to fuck the guy. It's fine. You can.
It would depend. I would say I would probably, like, if I know myself, I would honestly, if I'm already in the apartment, I'm powering through it.
Would you say some pro-Palestinian slogan while coming, though?
Yeah. From the river to the sea, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah. Put cheeks to the sea.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
I wouldn't judge you precisely because I know how unseriously you take all the guys that you're fucking. So it doesn't really matter.
Rob has a I don't give a fuck cock. IDGAF cock. I love that. That's good. No, I would power through. There was, in fact, a time where I had a hookup in, I would say, Crown Heights, and it was late at night. I had a few drinks, and
I
get to the apartment, and he's like, you know, we're making out or whatever, and he goes like, "Wow, you're so hot." Well, no, that, and it's out.
Oh no,
he spoke, and it was. I was like, "Oh my god, you have the accent," and I was like, "Okay, just don't talk." And I then it became like a very rough encounter where I was literally covering his mouth so he wouldn't
talk. Let's make this quick.
And again,
how have you not told this story sooner?
I was a little embarrassed. It was definitely a situation where, you know, my penis was in charge as opposed to my brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, sorry, let's get this over with.
After the testosterone left your body.
I would say I regretted it. I would say, like, afterwards, I was just like, you know, probably shouldn't have done that. This was one of the definitely one of those moments when I stopped drinking for a long time.
This was
like a pinpoint of like, look at these very poor decisions you make when you're this level of drunk.
Any new poor decisions now that you're drinking again?
Well, I'm not. No, I'm very. I'm very selective with when I drink now, I would say.
I remember when we were younger, like when I, you know, in my early days of knowing you, you used to drink only like when you would get high or whatever. Like you never used to really drink like as a primary source of entertainment.
I would say it's still like that. I was just out at a show and I got way too drunk and I just didn't like. But it wasn't just this. There were other instances where I got very drunk and I didn't like how I behaved. And it had nothing to do with like a sexual encounter or anything.
So what
like
what kind of behavior was it?
I'd rather not get into it.
Oh.
No, it was nothing. It was more like an internal thing of like it was and also just how I felt really the next day was a lot of it. Of just instead of being hungover in the traditional sense of just getting a headache, I suffered like a bout of depression and just being like, oh, did I say like recounting the whole night and regret, you know, feeling anxious about the ways I said things or behaved or whatever. And it was like, oh, I just shouldn't do this. There's nothing redeeming here.
Very interesting.
Yes,
who are you around emotional that you would angle. Say regrettable things to?
Well, certainly not you.
Yeah.
Well, no, like last night we went out, I had some wines because it was like, oh, this is fine. But it was just a little bit of wine. Like I'm not going to be, you know, downing tequila as much anymore.
I don't know if I've ever had tequila. Maybe once.
I had it. I used to really try any type of alcohol when I was younger, and I hated it. I never had a good time, and I tried everything.
It's my. I find it to be my favorite hard spirit, especially the higher end tequila. It's like the least painful. It actually tastes good.
My favorite hard spirit is the ghost of that 19-year-old's cock. Get it? Yes. Hard spirit. Ghost Sad. Of a boner. That's the RIP this week, is to that kid's dick.
Ghost of a boner.
I hope that dude's like a listener of the show and feels so at once seen and mortified at the same time that we're roasting his severed penis.
Wow.
Email. Shoot us an email if you're listening.
I think his cock comes back as a ghost and
his nightmares for sure.
Our email, of course, is ripalivecast@gmail.com. And yeah, let's talk about our Spotify picks. Every week, we each pick a song. We throw it on a playlist called the RIP Alivecast Music Break. You can search for it on Spotify. And this week, my pick is a little track from Sonic Youth called Into the Groovy. It's actually a reimagining or a cover of Madonna's Into the Groove. I've been having quite a Madonna moment lately. And I've been getting into this new podcast. It's called One Song. This DJ and this music enthusiast, and they basically just analyze a pop song every episode, and they really like dive deep into its influences, into its creation, what the artist was feeling at the time, and then, you know, the impact that it had afterwards. It's very, very interesting, and they cover a wide range of genres within the pop field. So sometimes it'll be like an older pop song like this. Sometimes it's something relatively newer, like they did a Daft Punk song, or there was something even more recent. A Doja Cat song, or they did an episode on David Bowie and Queen's "Under Pressure." So there's a lot, and they're very knowledgeable, and there's a dense amount of references to influences and stuff, and so. It's a really fun podcast. Anyway, so they did a whole episode on Madonna's song Into the Groove. And
not everybody. Not that one.
Not that one, which is, you know, of course, my current favorite Madonna song. But this one is right up there. It's from the same era. And actually, Guillermo Diaz sat in on that episode.
Jimmy Kimmel?
No, he was the guy from Half Baked that went, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, okay. Fuck you. That actor, he's a huge Madonna fan. He apparently has four Madonna tattoos.
Wow.
So it was a very interesting situation.
So just to clarify, for some reason on Spotify, it says this is by Sonic Youth, but it's not quite by Sonic Youth. It's by a side project of Sonic Youth called Ciccone Youth. Which is them plus Mike Watt from the Minutemen and Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr.
Right. Yes. I forgot to mention this.
Yeah. But yeah, on Spotify, for some reason, just says Sonic Youth.
Sweet. This is a fun little ditty. And Sid, what is your pick?
Well, this was the rare week where Lonnie sent me a song link of something he thought I might like, and I actually liked it and didn't just say, this sounds like this other thing. I'll just listen to that instead, but thanks anyway. So he sent me the song When I Come East by the band Thank You, I'm Sorry. It's a female-fronted, like indie rock, pop punk kind of group from Chicago, and I really liked it. It was a good song, so that's my pick. Darren?
My pick is a song called Where I'm From by the group House of Pain. The early 90s white hip hop group from the album, by the way, I want to say Same As It Ever Was, which first of all was kind of a bomb, I believe, after their massive hit first album, the one that has Jump Around on it that you probably know, that's still played in arenas this day everywhere. This album did not go over that well. I think they had a total of three albums. Is that right? Something like that.
And then Everlast went solo.
Right. And this is this, and there was a big gap in there. Like, first his life fell apart or whatever. Then he got his shit back together and he did his solo album.
It's also the greatest, like, choice of album title.
Same like as it ever was.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. I guess I don't need to buy it then. Thanks.
Right. And not only that, but the album art, the cover art, is a direct ripoff of Vulgar Display of Power. Just the guy getting punched in the face. So there's a lot of derivative stuff, but the album, I find the album is really, really good. Like, it's like they kind of, it's not, I want to say it's like Paul's Boutique. It's not nearly that good, but it's sort of the same progression of like, they did a little more kind of serious, like more better beats and like a little bit more of a serious, tone to what they're rapping about. So I enjoy it, but there's your ripoff, cover trying to be Pantera.
But this guy's Irish. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Well, how do we know that guy wasn't?
Yeah, Irish? I guess that's true.
Third album, not a big fan of that one, and that's when they decided to pack it in. But this is the second of three. I think it's three. Anyway,
sounds right.
Big fan of House of Pain. Not such a big fan of solo Everlast music.
He sort of went in a different direction.
Yeah.
At that point. We also have a submission from Lando Danks this week. Lando Danks picked the song The Devils by the band Bayside. Says, pretty pumped for the new Bayside album releasing April 5th. Their punk blend goes so well with the change of seasons. Bayside is a band I've heard of, but I've never actually listened to. So maybe I'll actually listen now that Lando Danks picked it.
Don't do what you do with Lonnie and say, oh, this sounds like something else that I like. Forget it.
It probably will, though.
But you'll be nice and listen to it. He's a listener.
Yeah.
So there you have it, folks. Those are our picks. And I want to, of course, mention, if you want yourself a little more Livecast, you can always support us by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. $5 a month gets you access to 4 years of bonus episodes, a treasure trove of episodes, including watch-alongs, where we watch movies and documentaries, listen-alongs, where we listen to classic good and not-so-good albums, and also we do bonus episodes just like this, where we just go through links, some of them a little dirtier, a little not PG, so we throw them behind a paywall, and there's a lot of fun in there. And so you could hit up patreon.com/RIPLivecast and get in on that fun. For $5 a month, you get access to all of it, and then we guarantee two bonus episodes a month, plus a weekly column from Sid telling you what to watch on television. Yeah. Our featured bonus episode right now is a watch along of No Holds Barred, the 1989 Hulk Hogan movie, which is way worse than we remembered it. And it doesn't really have much of an ending. And you can watch along with us. And earlier this month, before that, we had a episode where we just did a ton of links, a ton of weird links, and we delved deep into AI imagery.
And, that was a little too deep.
A little too deep. Like, this is what I mean when I say, like, I'm so glad this episode is behind a paywall, because I'm not sure I'd be able to get a job if this was a publicly available video.
It's true.
That's all I'll say.
Or are you applying, Rob? Are you throwing your resume out there? You updated the LinkedIn?
Little by little. Getting there. And of course, if you want to support us even more, you could be a top Livecast fan. You get a shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. Jarinski, how do you feel about doing the shout outs? As Rambo.
Nice. Sure. Okay. I just got to get the shout outs. Here they are.
Hey, Eric, you know, I give you a shout out, but you shouldn't have jumped out from behind that bush over there. I almost shot you in the face. Yeah. Benjamin, that sounds like a little, I don't know, maybe a little bit of Afghanistani name. I might have to put one right between your eyes. You know what I mean? Dan R. Don't come at me! Don't come at me! And the man's kippah, you know, the Jews are a good ally for us, you know, in the Middle East. You know, I like that kippah on your head signifies that you're an ally to me. You know, I ain't gonna shoot you. Let's go to the next one. Lando Danks. Lando Danks, that sounds like a little bit of a butter product. You know, Rambo tried to stay away from the butter. You know, I got to keep my abs looking good, you know. LaCroix, Scotty H, and Corey, you know. Hey, don't come at me! Don't come at me, freaking out again! Aaron, Douglas, who are you? Levinson. I don't be sure to play or not play a trumpet around your only instrument I carry is this machine gun right here. You hear me? And Jander and Randy Blit. I don't know how to say it anyway. What's that over there?
Very nice.
All right, that's our show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, we love you. We kiss you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.